Last week, I talked about Jesus' incredible parables and how amazing they are, how deep they are, how practical they are about issues that are a part of life that all of us deal with at different times and different ways. In so many ways, the parables of Jesus present truth to us. Sometimes there's an obvious truth that all of us might sense or hear or see, but oftentimes with Jesus' parables, every time I read a parable, certainly if there's a little time difference between readings, that it's just like the Holy Spirit takes that and pulls something out and applies it. And that's the way I believe about the Bible in general, but especially about the parables of Jesus. He speaks to us, and just want to encourage you to be listening to what God says to you about this parable today. I want to read another one of those parables of Jesus. This one I would like to read is about forgiving each other, especially in the body of Christ, and the importance of being able to let go of offenses, and that it sets us free. It sets both the person free that maybe has been in the wrong, and it certainly sets us free when we believe someone else is in the wrong. I believe that this is an area that's very important for the church. Being set free from the past hurts, past problems, past differences of opinion. And coming back to this is important for us in our faith, to be a church that has a witness that's genuine, especially to people outside the church. Important for those within the church, for sure, but also very important for the witness of the church and for the kingdom of God and what He desires. I want to read the parable of the two debtors that are found in Matthew chapter 18. Invite you to turn to that chapter. That chapter actually talks quite a bit about conflict, and I'm only going to read part of the parable. There's more in that chapter. If I don't read all that you might be thinking of, invite you to take some time and read it and listen to the Word of God. Chapter 18, I'm going to start reading at verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.' Therefore," Jesus said, "the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." As I said a minute ago, most times when I read a parable, especially if I haven't read it in a while, something else comes to my mind and my heart, and that's the case with this parable. Although it's not the major point that I want to make today, I just want to point one of those little things out. When you go back to verse 31, it says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. When the other servants saw what had happened. I'm reminded in this parable who the other servants are. The church. The body of Christ. Those that know the people in conflict. Those that are watching to see the response. It says here, the other servants heard the attitude, the words of this man, and they were outraged. The truth is, people are watching how we react to each other. People are watching how we deal with conflict, how we deal with issues that can divide us. And so right there, that just reminds me another layer, another point of how important it is that when there's conflict in our lives and when there are issues of forgiveness, when there's issues of offense, that we say to the Lord, God, I know this affects other people too. Help me to know what to do. Jesus in this parable is making a comparison. Our sins against a holy God, 10,000 bags of gold. Oh, this is quite a translation. Of course, this is a story. It's a parable. It's not an actual event with the actual amount of debt. But in God's eyes, our sins against God are like 10,000 bags of gold. He's a holy God. And so when Jesus uses this term that's translated this way, can you imagine 10,000 bags of gold? That's hyperbole. Hyperbole. Exaggeration to make a point. 10,000 bags of gold. Man. 10,000. What if we just put 1,000 bags of gold on the platform today? To just... Do you know how much a bag of gold is worth? 10,000 bags of gold. That's what sin is to a holy God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? 10,000 bags of gold. Massive. It's such a, but I'll say an unnecessary thing to say. We could never pay that back. Who could pay back 10,000 bags of gold? Well, there is going to be a new trillionaire, I've heard, in the economy in another year. They don't shut them down. But even, I don't know, 10,000 bags of gold today? It's more than $1 trillion. I don't know how much. I didn't count it up. That's how God sees our sin. And then you compare that to 100 silver coins. I still have 100 silver coins in my box that I've had since childhood of my coin collection. I sold most of it to help me pay for a quarter of college, but I still kept some fun stuff. I have 100 silver coins, you know, dimes and some old quarters and, you know, a few silver dollars. I still have my 1901 silver dollar. 100 silver coins. That has some value to them for sure. And to the debtor, maybe 100 silver coins was a lot. And to the person he owed, maybe this man just thought, man, that's a lot of money. I could really use that. Parable. This parable came as a response to a question. It was Peter who was asking the question. Peter, who so many times asked questions, but probably more often than not, Peter gave the answer before he asked any questions. But not this time. He asked the question. I think it was probably a very sincere question. I don't have any reason to think otherwise. It was a good question. He asked the right person. He was wrestling with something. Knowing Peter's personality, he probably had conflicts with a lot of people. In fact, he might have had one person particularly that just really, it was a struggle, probably. Well, Peter did the right thing. He brought his question to Jesus. What a good example just that part of the parable is to me. When you got a problem, an issue, come to Jesus with it. Open your heart to an amazing teacher who had amazing insight. The disciples had talked about that before. Jesus had talked about it. I'm going to read some scriptures in a few minutes of many times when Jesus talked about issues of reconciliation, forgiveness, offenses, all those things. It was a real life issue. Jesus knew that. He understood that. You know, sometimes we think, it's just too complicated. Nobody can understand what happened and why it happened and how it happened and who did what went wrong, and it just can't be sorted out. Sometimes we tend to feel that way with conflict. Sometimes it does seem that way. But sometimes I think we underestimate the wisdom of God and the power of God to help us when we struggle. Peter, I think, was really trying to work at this life issue. I think he was. I mean, you know Peter. He was tough. Boy, was he opinionated. He was a loud mouth. He was a quick mouth. But Peter was teachable. So he brought a question to Jesus out of life's issues. And it was about relationships, really. It was about resolving something going on that Peter was thinking about, don't know what, some kind of conflict, some kind of issue of forgiveness. He used that word, forgiveness. Those three things are often interwoven, and we're not sure how to sort them out. Relationships, resolving conflicts, forgiveness. And there's others, too. Being offended. Underreacting, overreacting, blaming others, pointing the finger instead of. A lot of issues. It was a good question for a disciple to ask. Good question for a sincere disciple to ask. Jesus, what do I do about it? What do I do about the mess, the problem, the hurt, the pain? This is a good discipleship question. It's really a discipleship matter. What do we do with conflicts? Jesus actually talked about conflicts many times. Several times they're recorded in the Gospels. So, whose job is it, Jesus, to resolve conflicts? Who is it that's responsible when there's a hurt, when there's an offense, when there's a perceived sin? Sometimes it's real and sometimes not, honestly, in relationships. Whose job is it to work them out? What does God say to us when we have conflict about what we do about it? Well, I can think of two examples, at least two, where Jesus answers that question. Whose job is it to resolve conflicts? Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 is one of them. Turn there if you would like to. Two verses, and I'm going to read them. Here's one example. Whose job is it to resolve conflicts? Verse 23 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift. If you know a brother or sister, again, this is within the council of the church, the body of Christ, Christians who profess faith in Jesus and a willingness to be a disciple of Christ, This principle doesn't work outside of the body of Christ. The principles may still be applicable, but they are applicable, and the scriptures that I'm going to read today are all applicable to the church. If you know someone is hurt, offended, upset with you, Jesus says that it's your job to go to them and approach them about it. If you know that someone feels that you have wronged them, whether it's justified or not, whether there, and there almost always is two sides to a story, the principle is it's your responsibility to go to them and be reconciled. We're to actively seek to work through issues. Jesus seems to be saying another way to save it is make the first move. Be willing to make the first move. He says in this context, interesting enough, leave your gift at the altar. I believe he's saying when you come to worship, when you come to connect to God, and you realize that there's someone out there that is offended at you, a brother or sister, then first you should get up and you should go to that brother or sister. If something, as if Jesus is saying, something is blocked in worship when there's unresolved conflict. There's something that is blocked in God's kingdom and the freedom of the body of Christ in worship. Something is hindered. When we come and we go through the motions of worship, but there is a known issue that needs to be resolved. Our worship, our connection to God is somehow closed, it's hindered, it's lessened. Our closeness to God is impacted. Maybe sometimes we feel a lot of things, but there might be times when we feel kind of dry spiritually. We feel like we don't hear God's voice anymore. And we struggle with something that maybe we're not even sure we know what it is about God. And we should consider the impact. One possibility, many others. One possibility is that there's unresolved grievances in your heart towards someone or you know exist toward you. It's not easy to look inside. It's never easy to look inside when we have conflict. The first look should be inside, with a heart that says, God, what do you say to me? Jesus reminds us that if we know there's an issue, it's His call in our lives to get up and go to that person and try to resolve the issue. The second case that Jesus speaks of, the other side of the coin, I'll call it, is in chapter 18, the same chapter that the parable comes from. In fact, chapter 18 leads up to the parable. Verse 15 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. This is the first step. And Jesus also talked about, if that doesn't work, what you do. It's important that we hear the counsel of Jesus about when somebody's offended us. When somebody's done something that we believe they have sinned, they have grieved, they have done wrong, and it's about us especially, Jesus reminds us there's a way to handle it. Direct is the first way. One-on-one, direct. And then he goes on to talk about what if that person has sinned and unresponsive to you. What do you do about that? And I'm not going that far today in that. But I want you to hear what Jesus says again. Whose responsibility is it? If someone believes you've offended them, the first passage, the first example says it's the person's responsibility who knows there's an offense. And then on the other side he says, well, what if somebody has sinned Whose responsibility is it to go and to be reconciled and confront them? Again, it's the person that knows there's an offense. I'm afraid that sometimes in the church, sometimes the tendency is to know there's an offense, but not be willing to resolve it. And there's can be many reasons for that, but one of the spiritual reasons can be if you're offended about somebody else, going to them implies a certain accountability and a look inside, and that's hard to do. Sometimes we're offended at somebody else, and whether or not we should be or not, we have feelings and we need to deal with them. But Jesus encourages us to be the one that goes. You notice here, and underline, I think in both of them, the word go. You know where else I hear Jesus talk about go? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here, in both of these examples, Jesus tells us to go. Again, the body of Christ, the believers, within the body of Christ, this principle. There are situations where clearly this principle isn't what God wants us to do. For example, I'll just put one out there. War. People have said to me, well, you do that every time and this is what's going to happen. This is for the body of Christ, where there is a willingness to be mutually accountable in order to resolve conflict. Jesus puts on you and I a big responsibility. He puts the responsibility on every believer of restoring relationships. Again, this is a principle for the church, the body of Christ. Do your very best. I love this. I got this off the internet this week. Jesus puts the responsibility of restoring relationships on you, on me. He doesn't say, well, if they did something wrong to you, then you just stew about it. And you just take the attitude, well, they'll never deal with it. Or they hurt me, and I have a right to hold on to that. That's so destructive to the witness of the church. If someone has hurt you or offended you, God calls you to go and to be reconciled. Both ways around. That's a big responsibility. Another thing that we've read, Jesus mentioned, and also we find in the scripture that I'll read here, is about giving the devil a foothold. What happens when we don't? What happens when we don't take the effort to go when there's a conflict? Well, the devil wins. The devil gets his foot in the door. Ephesians chapter 4, speaking to couples, husbands and wives, basically don't let your grievances go overnight. Resolve them. The context of this one. And do not give the devil a foothold. What happens if you don't resolve those conflicts is, number one, they get bigger. Number two, they get deeper. And number three, they seem impossible to resolve if you don't do that and you let them go. But God can help you. And when that happens, then the devil has a foothold. He has a foothold on relationships. I tell you where else he has a foothold. He has a foothold in your feelings. A lot of times, people have talked, and I've talked to them about issues in the past with other people. And they say, Pastor, I can't help it how I feel. And I know that. Feelings you can't help. They're there. But sometimes feelings are because you've allowed an attitude in your own heart that has caused those feelings to be deeper and harder and harsher. And so acknowledging the truth of this is important to us. Maybe our feelings are so deep that they seem impossible. But very likely it's because we've not heard what Jesus is saying about the importance. How important it is that we don't let the devil have a foothold. Right away we give it to Jesus. Right away we give it to Jesus again and again. Sometimes we just have to give it to him every day. Usually when that happens, after a while, those feelings recede some. God helps us to have other feelings. That's very true. If you give your hurts and your pains to God and you keep giving them to God, it might be that you wake up the next morning and they're back, but you give them to Him again. You give them to Him again. You give them to Him again. God will be faithful with your feelings. Don't think because you have feelings you're separated from God. Hear the word of the Lord that God says, I can help you with those, but you have to keep giving them to me. And I can take them and I can use them in your heart and your life. Three things and then I'll be finished. Number one, take responsibility for your own feelings. It's so easy to blame other people for your feelings. Most of us, all of us have feelings. But take responsibility for your own feelings. That's how healing can take place on the inside. Number two, it does take a commitment to humility and teachability. Inner healing doesn't take place without humility. Learning, growing, overcoming. It takes a spirit that says, God, slow me down, quiet me down, and speak to my heart and my spirit. Take responsibility. Pray for humility. Number three, it takes intentionality. It takes hearing Jesus prompt your the Holy Spirit prompt your heart when He's picking at you about an issue in your heart or your life or a brokenness or a relationship or a forgiveness issue. It takes getting up out of your chair and stepping into the uncomfort zone for a while. It takes a willingness to risk it a little bit. Because not every conflict can be solved. It takes two people. Sometimes, when you try to resolve a conflict, and whether it's your inability, your weakness, or really it is that someone doesn't want to resolve a conflict, and no matter what you do, it's going to be painful. God doesn't promise it won't be painful. God doesn't promise that it won't be easy. It will be easy. But there is a peace, I believe, that God helps us with, and a healing and a growth and a depth that's far worth the process. So take responsibility. Humble yourself. Be intentional. There's an issue that you need to have resolved in your life. Maybe it's with somebody else, and maybe it's just on the inside between you and God. One more scripture today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. We don't have time to go through it and in it, but it's another good section of scripture about forgiveness. I may pick that up another time soon. I'm not sure. This is what Paul wrote. He said, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Be aware that Satan wants to keep you in bitterness, wants to keep you in discouragement, in defeat, in frustration, in judgmental spirit. I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. May the word of the Lord speak to all of us today. Would you stand? And I want to invite you to pray with me today, the Lord's Prayer, in closing this morning. Oh, our Father, which art in heaven, He is there and He watches us. May you sense His voice and His Spirit to speak to your heart today. Would you pray with me this prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.